Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Follow me on Twitter at Brian Lehrer. Like us on Facebook, where it's Brian Lehrer, WNYC. And all this week, WNYC's Janet Babin and Amy Pearl have been traveling from Cape May to Montauk doing a coast check to get a feel for how residents are faring 3 months after Sandy. Yesterday, they visited Staten Island, and today they're joining us from Long Island. Janet joins us now with an update. Hey, Janet.
Hi, Brian.
And where on the island are you?
Well, we are in Freeport right now along Nautical Mile. It's right near Jones Beach Inlet. We're right on the water, and it's high tide, and the wind is really kicking up a line of white caps here along the shore.
And I remember our live coverage on the night of Sandy, and Freeport was one of the first places to get really socked. We actually haven't heard that much about it since. How are things?
Well, we are really seeing a lot of damage here on Nautical Mile. One of the fish markets has been reduced to rubble, and there's just a fence around it, and no one's there. And most of the retail places along here are still closed. You know, it's a cute little beach mile. It's a touristy place where in the summer there's a lot of activity, but now it's pretty dead. Though we did find Bracco's Fish Market is open, and we're actually enjoying a little bit of chowder here for an early lunch.
Have you noticed a difference in general between how the beachfront areas on the Jersey Shore that you traveled this week are faring and the ones on the Long Island shore?
You know, Brian, we're just getting into Long Island now, but we did talk about this, and I'd have to say that we're seeing some universal issues in Jersey and along the shore here. People are frustrated with insurance. They're not sure about flood standards and rebuilding. Mostly we're talking about first floors here. They're gutted, and people are wondering if they have to raise up their homes or businesses. And it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, obviously it's a different setting. You know, it's more urban in Staten Island, and it's different in Long Island, but they're dealing with universal issues.
And you made a stop in Broad Channel in Queens. And with the freezing cold temperatures we had last week and early this week, I understand you've been seeing the toll that cold weather is taking on houses, specifically on pipes.
Right. So a lot of these people in Broad Channel just got electricity this week, but not in time to stop their pipes from freezing because a lot of them didn't have heat and they didn't have space heaters because they had no electricity. So we ran into an electrical contractor who was there to put back the electric, but he went in, and lo and behold, the pipes had burst, so we had to deal with that first. People in Broad Channel are really feeling a little bit neglected. They feel as though no one really understands how bad things are there.
Yesterday, you and Amy stopped at Cedar Grove on the east coast of Staten Island. What did you see there?
Well, it was pretty shocking that the Cedar Grove volunteer tent, which was set up pretty much right after Sandy, was still going strong. So we're talking 90 days. People were coming in for hot food still. One woman picked up a free space heater because she was also dealing with pipes that had burst. And other people were, like, looking for rides because they had lost their vehicles in the storm. One guy hopped a ride with someone. So it was still pretty bad.
And we will have to leave it there for today. WNYC's Janet Babin with photographer Amy Pearl making their way from Cape May to Montauk. And so if you're in Freeport right now, you're still very west as Long Island goes, so you have a long way to Montauk. Enjoy the ride, and we'll keep listening for your reports.
Okay, thanks, Brian.
And now we head back to Midland Beach on Staten Island, one of the hardest hit communities, to hear how residents and business owners are doing 3 months after Sandy. Joining me are Bob Dennis, parish manager at St. Margaret Mary Roman Catholic Church on Lincoln Avenue in Midland Beach. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Also, Tracy Lotz, a homeowner who's on the board of the Midland Beach Alliance. Hello, Tracy.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Bob.
And from Midland Avenue, we're also joined by Christine Mignoni Morena, owner of Bedazzle Dance Studio there, which reopened earlier this month after having been damaged by Sandy. Christine, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. How are you?
And listeners, we definitely want your calls if you live along the eastern shore of Staten Island, Midland Beach, New Dorp, Oakwood, wherever, where Sandy hit hard. What's been your experience? How is the recovery going? What do other people need to know 3 months down the road about your block or your immediate surroundings? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or if you've been going to Staten Island, even if you don't live there, to volunteer since Sandy, whatever, call up and give us your firsthand report, 212-433-9692. And, Christine, I know your dance studio is about 10 blocks from the beach, and yet you found a watermark 10 feet high on the mirrors when you returned after Sandy. What did you see when you got back? What was the damage?
Basically, I walked in, and it was just, I couldn't even get down there because I live on the other side of the island, and I just walked in, and it was all mud. Just, and the floors were warped up, and the water line was up to the top of the mirrors, about 10 feet. And I just dropped to the floor in shock, and it was just gone. Everything was gone.
Tracy, some of our listeners have been using the hashtag we've been putting out, CoastCheck, on Twitter to report on neighborhoods. And listeners, again, no matter where you are, from Cape May to Montauk, use CoastCheck and help us crowdsource this database of descriptions about how things are 3 months down the road. Use the hashtag CoastCheck on Twitter. But this morning, using that hashtag, Justin tweeted, "At night in Midland Beach, you can see how few Sandy folks have yet to get power. It's a ghost town." So, Tracy, what are the conditions like there today? How many residents lack power or heat or water?
Well, I just got a report online that there's 1,900 people in Staten Island with no heat or electricity still.
Do you know why?
I think solely for us, it was on my side, and Bob Dennis, it's mostly renters. So, you know, they just upped and left, and now the landlord is up to the responsibility, which I'm surrounded by homes that are demoed. I'm surrounded by homes that haven't even, the front door hasn't even been opened. There's still mold and everything growing in there. And I believe today is the last day for them to apply for the city to demo, if they need demo. I have a house that's right on my block that hasn't been touched, and they've demoed 3 or 4 houses on my block alone.
So do you think that family by family, landlord by landlord, the beach, or I should say, you know, the places close to the beach where people build is just going to wind up moving back?
Well, I think mostly everybody's waiting for these reports that we're hearing and not coming till May about the elevation rate. So I believe that that's the concern of many of the homeowners around me that we surveyed, that architects won't even help them or, you know, even touch their case without these elevation reports coming out until May.
I would concur with you that, Brian. I mean, we're seeing that that's a big problem for us. We just don't know. We don't have the guidelines.
So you don't know yet, Bob, whether you're and for many of your parishioners, what their decisions will be on rethinking living so close to the water?
I really don't think they're gonna stop living close to the water. I mean, that's just a natural thing for people. They always want to be close. The question is, you know, how high do they have to build before it becomes financially unfeasible for them? So if you're talking about someone that has a small bungalow, and they're below level as it is now, it'll probably be quite expensive for them to rebuild. If you're talking about some of the homes, the newer homes that were built along the water, Father Cap, they probably won't need to go as high. I don't think the water level, while it initially came across, obviously, it didn't hit those homes at the same level that it wound up with on Midland Avenue by the dance studio. And a lot of that water came around different angles. It was very, very strange the way it happened. I live on 2 blocks south of Highland Boulevard, and I had 8 feet of water in my basement. My backyard is down 5 feet from grade, and, of course, the water was at least 6 feet in the backyard, burst through the windows and flooded the house.
Incredible. And Tracy, as you know, on Monday, FEMA released new flood zone maps, and Midland Beach has been reclassified. What do you know about these new requirements for buildings?
I really didn't look at the flood maps, to be honest with you, because
you know, my house is already high, so it wasn't really a concern for me.
So this is something, you know, people are going to start looking at and figuring out how it affects them.
Well, yeah, we did. I did actually briefly look at it, and these people, there's no. Did you see the amount of insurance that they'll have to pay if they don't elevate the house?
That's what I mean by financially unfeasible. It just becomes unreasonable for them to rebuild.
Let's take a phone call from David in New Dorp Beach. David, thank you for calling in. How are things?
Yeah, hi. My point would be we're sort of still in the Stone Ages out here. Our house is pretty much an empty shack. We had rapid repair come in. The basis for which they do the restoration is to put things back exactly the way they were, which is a problem because with your boiler and your furnace in the basement, you're prone to the next flood, which is certainly going to come. And they could raise the things. We actually said we prefer less than more, but a different type of heating system, electrical panels much higher up, and they really want to build things in the same way. And we just thought, after the experience we've had, it's sort of like Pompeii. You know, you leave, you rebuild, you leave, rebuild, and now they're still there under rubble. But and the other point that I had is we understand there's so much funding that's come in through the Red Cross, through the 2012 concert, Robin Hood, even Occupy Sandy. And from the Attorney General's website, it explains that very little of that has actually been distributed, if any, to individuals. And really, it's the individuals who know what their needs are. And that just hasn't happened in one case that I'm aware of. And that's pretty much my comment.
David, thank you very much. Bob, I understand that the parish has been distributing money, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd like to comment on that. We had received initially, in the right after the hurricane, $145,000 from the Archdiocese of New York that was collected to be distributed out to the parishioners, as did a number of the other parishes along the shore. And it was given out, again, to the parishioners of the church. We gave out $295 cards. We had so many people that came that were in the area, in our physical area, Midland Beach. We started to utilize money that we had received, just cash donations for people. So from that, we gave out an additional $26,500 just in checks because it was difficult to turn them away.
And Christine, I think you have a success story here. You did get your Bedazzled Dance Studio on Midland Avenue reopened despite the shocking amount of damage you were describing before. How'd you do it?
Well, basically, FEMA is affiliated with SBA, the Small Business Administration, and they were able to give me a loan. And with that and the owner of the building, my landlord, worked nonstop every day. He gutted out everything right away, and we were just, our goal was to get it back open for these kids. This is their second home. And they all came back, and they were so excited, and they had to get back to normalcy. And we just worked every day to make that happen. And right after the holidays, January 2nd, we opened up, and we're back right where we left off.
Congratulations. And boy, for all the calls we've been getting from people saying they're waiting for their FEMA loans, I knew somebody in the area had to have actually gotten a FEMA loan and put it to use. Now we know it was you and your landlord. Yes. Karen in Port Richmond, you're on WNYC. Hello, Karen.
Hello, thanks for having me.
What's up?
Oh, well, I'm the disaster recovery coordinator for Project Hospitality on Staten Island, so I have many people calling me every day, oftentimes in tears, because they are very afraid of the mold coming into their homes. Right now, there are a few mold remediation services, but they're all volunteer-run. So one of the major needs that I'm seeing is for kind of the city to provide free mold remediation services to people and to continue the rapid repairs program.
Have you gotten a response from the city on that? When I had the New York City Health Commissioner on, maybe a month ago, I asked about mold, which I know can be so toxic to people, either immediate effects or long-term effects. And he said he actually hadn't had reports yet at the health department of elevated, at least, short-term health reports of increased effects from mold. What are you seeing and what kind of response are you getting from the city on this request?
I've just heard rumors that they're working on creating a program, but not much more than that. part of it is that people are still very afraid and seeking out crisis counseling services. The needs are just so extensive here still that we feel like we're only 5 seconds in.
Karen, thank you very much. And I think that's what we're learning
all
this week in our series. 3 months in is 5 seconds in. Tracy?
Yes, my concern here is, our parks are closed, the beach is closed, the boardwalk is closed, Millerfield is now closed, and they're telling us it's because it's contaminated. Now, my son has to walk through to go to school every morning, so he can no longer do that because you can't gain entrance to Millerfield as of a couple of days ago. And across the street from me, which is the boardwalk, you can't even go there. I spoke to the parks department. They told me that the grounds are so contaminated that they wouldn't even let their dogs walk there. That's my concern. The air quality, this needs to be tested. And what about the playgrounds for these children? Pier 38 is still closed. You know, these kids have nothing to do. The kids that are here, they have nothing to do. Everything's taken away from them.
As Tracy
it's
said,
95 days.
They can go to Bedazzled and take dance classes.
That's right.
Right. Well, my son is 16. I don't think he wants to dance.
Well, if you can't play football anymore and you can't dance, what's... Anyway, Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Brian, I just wanted to say that during the cleanup, the Department of Sanitation did an absolutely fantastic job. They cleaned everything up. The only thing that I would say is they dumped everything in the parking lot in Midland Beach. And that's where they actually went through it and started separating out what was recyclable and what wasn't. So they scooped everything up off the streets and got the streets nice and clean. But unfortunately, they dumped it all there. And then the constant moving back and forth creates a tremendous, tremendous amount of dust. And that dust just floats over the entire beach. And it's really destroyed the air quality in the area. Now, they do have a monitoring device on Lincoln Avenue, but they're not releasing any of the information that's coming out of that. Now, I myself have received or have a respiratory virus that's kept me home for 2 weeks from the church and put me in the hospital for a week.
Wow.
So, I mean, as you can hear, my breath is labored, but I think a lot of that is because of the current quality of air.
Environmental effects from Sandy. We're hearing, apparently, in the voice of Bob Dennis from St. Margaret Mary Church. And Bob, I want to ask you one final question, and then we're out of time. One of the numbers that stood out at the time of the storm was the death toll and the fact that over half of the 43 people who died in New York City from Sandy were Staten Island residents. And I know that many were residents of Midland Beach and parishioners of St. Margaret Mary. How has the community been dealing with that loss? Because nobody's talking about it outside.
I know. It's very difficult. And one of the other things that they're not releasing is the number of people who are unclaimed because they were illegal immigrants that were living in Midland Beach.
Unclaimed bodies?
Yeah. Now, in speaking with firemen who live in the area, who actually did a lot of the rescue and the removal, they were taking bodies and placing them in Millerfield in a refrigerated trailer, and then that's where they kept them until they were identified. My understanding is they weren't all identified. The exact number, we have no idea. I know what we tried to do at the church to honor them. We had little angels that we made that we hung on our Christmas tree, and which we'll do every year. One for every person who passed on Staten Island, and then one for the unclaimed people, and one for anybody that we missed. But they'll always be remembered. They'll never be forgotten.
Bob Dennis, parish manager at St. Margaret Mary Church. Tracy Lotz on the board of the Midland Beach Alliance. Christine Mignoni-Morena, owner of Bedazzled Dance Studio, which did reopen earlier this month. Thank you all very much for helping us check in from on Sandy from Staten Island, as hard as some of that was to hear. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And on a much lighter note, Alexandra Horowitz next, author of a new book about New York that can make all our lives more fun, called On Looking, 11 Walks with Expert Eyes. Stay with us.